Ave Maria, this is Friar Roderick here for AveMaria.com. We're in Alexandria, Virginia, at Queen of Apostles Parish, and we have here Father Tom Vander Woody. How you doing, Father?
Doing well. Thank you very much, Friar.
You're the pastor here, right?
I am. That's great. Yes.
And you had an interesting story, in a sense. You lived here, grew up here, and with a very special father who was very involved with the Catholic life in this area, which is so strong. And tell me a little bit about your story.
Well, just growing up with a family of seven boys, I'm the oldest of seven sons. And my mom and dad made sure that as we were raised strong in the faith. Daily rosary, even growing up when we wanted to go out and play and do this, that, and the other thing, they made sure that we were all together to pray the rosary. And that really is the sacraments, but daily rosary was really a strengthening backbone of our family, to help all of us brothers stay strong in the faith. I've got five younger brothers, all happily married, and I'm a priest. As a result of the way Mom and Dad raised us, we've all chosen, different vocations, but all, striving to follow our Lord in our vocations.
Right, so that's very important for following vocations and following the Lord's will, is to have a good, strong family life and a good prayer life.
True. In the midst of having seven sons, Mom and Dad, Mom is a huge impact in our lives, but so was Dad. Just having a father to teach us how to love as a man, and how to be a man. That Dad just gave us all a great example. Love God, and then loving Mom was a great example to us. My brothers who are married now, but also myself, just as how to be a good father. That's what a priest is meant to be, a spiritual father.
So tell me a little bit about your vocation then as a priest. How did it all start?
I can look back to eighth grade when my friends called me Father Tom, but I hated that title at the time. Just going through high school, just got to know some very good priests. My family stayed close to some really good priests, and great example from these priests who are happy, love their faith. Love the gift of the priesthood and teaching the truth, offering the sacraments. College, I went to a small liberal arts school called Christendom College, and that helped a lot the formation of my faith, just having the great spiritual life that was there and the great social life, too, and academic life. My senior year, I deliberately didn't date just kind of kept focused on what is our Lord's plan. And after that, I decided, kind of step out into the seminary and to see if it was for me, and it was, actually. So I'm very happy that this is the vocation our Lord has chosen for me.
Great. How many years have you been a priest?
I've been a priest 16 years.
16 years, wow. That's a good long time. And God bless you for that. And now, what about your father? He was involved with Christendom as well, right?
Dad was. He retired in 2002 from the airlines, and for 5 years there he was athletic director, and at first time he was also the career development officer there.
Great. And so he had a large family and had priests and met many sons and daughters who got married, but he also had another son who was your brother, right? It was very special, right?
Absolutely. When I was a senior, that fall, October of 1987, my youngest brother Joseph was born, Joseph Jude Thaddeus, and he was born with Down syndrome. And of course, all of us were athletes growing up. We could pretty much do anything we wanted to do physically. And here comes along this little gift from our Lord to refocus our definition of what is perfection. What's goodness, and he's been a tremendous lesson to us, even though he'll never be able to read and write, I don't think. He's taught us an incredible amount.
That's incredible. So it's more the beauty in the person of being a person than what he can do and not.
Correct. And actually, anybody who's known a Down syndrome child or adult knows that these kids, these people are they have a great ability to love, and I'm not sure if there's a bad bone in their bodies, and Josie's a stellar example of that. So the people that I've interacted with him, not just in my family, what he's taught us and our relatives, but all the other friends that we have, these families that have interacted with Joseph, I mean, it's just a norm for them. So if they meet someone who's out of the ordinary, well, in a sense, out of the ordinary, it's not going to be so out of the ordinary.
And it puts a lot of perspective on everyone else, and ourselves included. There, we have our own foibles, and sometimes we become irritating to other people. And to know that being very different can be accepted is very wonderful too.
Our Lord gives everyone different gifts, you know, regardless of how they look, what they're capable of or not capable of. So as far as, you know, my little brother, that's, you know, he's really taught us that in a great way. That's the Lord's gift to us.
Great. Now, your father and your son, and his son, your brother, a tragic event happened at one point. And can you tell me about that?
Sure. On the farm, of course, Dad had been fully retired from doing any type of work for last year. And Dad always loved being on the farm, doing different odd jobs and getting back to the farm from when he was raised. And my brother Joseph would be out just doing different things with Dad, just not necessarily, you know, actively helping Dad, but just kind of in the vicinity doing different things. And so just out on the farm one day, Josie was cleaning out the pool. And he just fell into an old septic tank in the ground there. And Dad just came around the house and didn't see him anywhere. And then he ran over and saw the lid off and saw Josie down there. And Dad had cleaned that tank out, so he knew the level. And Josie wasn't going to be able to stand up in it. So Dad, he got down in there. How he got past Joseph, I don't know. It's a 2x2 entrance. But he got underneath him and then managed to keep him out of all the filth in there. But it ended up knocking Dad out, all those gases. And by the time the paramedics came, Mom and a bricklayer who was there working were holding my brother Joseph up. They couldn't pull him up. Why his T-shirt didn't rip, well, I think the guardian angels can tell us that. But Dad was underneath holding him up. And of course, you know, that was about 15, 20 minutes worth, and that was too much, you know, for Dad. You just can't live that long without oxygen.
Okay. So he did die that very day.
He died right there in the septic tank. As a friend of mine wrote me from Pennsylvania, saying that at first she thought it was a terrible way to die, but then, you know, she thought about it more and says, well, no, that's what our Lord did. You know, he came into this world of filth and redeemed us. So that's what Dad would have done for any one of us. So it was a tremendous, tremendous act of love that, you know, he gave for his son. But he would have given that for anyone, I think.
That's a really great testimony, and just knowing that he would to go that far and so sort of spontaneously, right? He just jumped right in there to save his son.
Yeah, if there's a motto that you probably could give for Dad, it's that just get the job done. You know, that's what he, you know, just growing up on the farm, I think that's what farmers do. They're like, well, job has to get done, so let's figure out a way and get it done. Well, in this case, Dad, that's what he did. And no time to really think about, you know, what's going to be the perfect way to do this. No, he's just going to save his son. And he's going to do the job. That's what he did.
And how did your whole family take the whole event, you know, this very tragic event?
Definitely a time was... you know, they're of sadness and a loss of Dad. And Dad was the nieces and nephews had a great relationship with him. And, of course, all of us sons, you know, loved our dad tremendously. So he's, the parish, where he was very active with Mom. You know, he was the head of the altar boys. Mom and Dad were the sacristans there in the parish. Great help to Father Peffley there. You know, that whole community hit them pretty hard. And then, of course, our old high school and college community that we were involved in and my dad had been involved in, you know, were definitely affected. In a sense that, yes, everyone's sad, but then we know, I mean, the way Dad died, this is the way, you know, he went out with his boots on. He's right. And that's Dad's way.
So he died kind of a hero, and that was great consolation and inspiration. Did that inspire a community beyond your own community too?
Oh, yes. I think from what I've been in contact with different families with Down syndrome children, it's been it's been incredible the impact Dad's had, and which is far-reaching that we will never know, I don't think, in this lifetime, the people that are sending us emails and talking to us. And then just men in general. At the wake service, man after man came up to us asking us, you know, just telling us, Dad is not, you know, he's basically giving me cause to reassess the way I'm living as a man.
That's great. It made, did it make national news?
Yes, it did make national news, whether it be on talk show, radio, whether it be on EWTN, in different publications, National Catholic Register and a few others I know, it was in print as well. So it did, to my knowledge, it did. Now, that's just, I guess, it just is something that was overwhelming to us as a family. But I guess what we took for granted, you know, and Dad is not so, you know, regular. Okay.
And that's another great constellation that it has such great ramifications so far and wide. Was there any kind of, say, a political benefit from it as well?
Political benefit that we came across is Senator Brownback brought some legislation to the floor of the Senate that had not been able to be passed for years, I guess. And this was the along he co-sponsored with, I think, Ted Kennedy. And he asked basically that there'd be just a vote on this, nothing else attached to it from what I understand. But basically this is the act that would permit and encourage, even fund to some degree, that when a mother is pregnant with an unborn child that has some type of a handicap, whether it be Down syndrome or another type, that this child could be, you know, could be adopted, and there could be a list of people who would be willing to adopt such children, so there could be these children would have, you know, have a greater chance of living.
Right. So gave the mother basically a choice, which is such a word so badly used today.
Correct. Give the mothers a choice, and actually, the way Brownback did it, he just led in with my dad's story when he presented this.
And that story then made the whole process that was stalled for 3 years just come through in one vote, or
I'm not sure if it was one vote, but it was passed, and it had not been passed before and on other attempts. Now, granted, Sarah Palin's little one had some impact on that too, as in the press. But this is the way Brownback actually. Senator Brownback actually presented it to the Senate. He had, you know, Dad's story right there for them.
That's a great pro-life story and a great story of a family life, a Catholic family life, and a spiritual, prayerful life. Thank you very much, Father Tom.
Thank you very much, Fry.
God bless you. This is Fry Roderick for Amaria.com.